Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes, Danny Brams. We are here at Dom's Dive Bar. We're over a couple pints of the black. And I'm excited to tell you, Danny, that that's five wins on the bounce for your beloved Charlotte FC. You must be riding high this evening.
Five to stay alive. Let's dive right in here at Dom's Dive Bar, Johnny. Absolutely insane result in Cincinnati that we got. We just enjoyed watching them together. I thought this was going to be a loss. I had this one chalked up as a loss. Turns out
I think most people did. Yeah, most people had it as a loss.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, maybe we shouldn't have. Maybe we should have looked at that. Four wins on the bounce in the league that we had before League's Cup, and five unbeaten with the draw on the front end of that, and now five wins in a row, six unbeaten. And the League's Cup pickup, that Juarez game really just must have, it kind of threw off the vibe, but maybe that was the mirage.
Charlotte FC right now, Danny, is when you think about the MLS table, the Eastern Conference, currently only 3 points out of fourth place. You know, there's a game in hand there, but we're not going to go down that.
There's live games happening right now. Orlando and Miami are playing.
The table is changing by the minute. It has all evening. And right now, as we record this, it looks pretty good for Charlotte FC.
Cheers. The Sunday evening soccer was quite enjoyable, Johnny. It was a really nice defensive effort. Charlotte under the cosh, very much so in the first half. Evander pulling all the strings, making things happen. And Kalina coming up with huge saves when needed. And then a red card changed everything. And Charlotte really, the red card was a moment where it's like, okay, like we've heard Dean Smith in the past, like say, oh, it's actually harder to play against 10 than it is against 11. You know, like Dean's done that whole routine when they've not been able to beat up, you know, take advantage of other teams' red cards. Tonight they took advantage.
Do you know what you need when you're a man up on the road and you've typically not been able to garner points on the road even when you're a man up? You know, you just need one thing.
Touch of class.
That's exactly right. That's all you need. And Wilfried Zaha, he brought that this evening. That's why he's my man of the match. Christian Kalina, though, could be.
I mean, Kalina's my man of the match. Kalina's my man of the match, but I would give it to Zaha if I had to. And I think you feel basically the reverse of that.
The official man of the match, I'm looking up to see who Charlotte FC has.
Apple gave it to Kalina. Apple gave it to Kalina, but they don't, you know, they were the Apple announcers were cheering against us the entire night.
Curious to see, Charlotte FC should name a man of the match, or, there should be a man of the match.
We always do for home, like, who goes up on the throne.
Exactly.
So,
I don't think they do that for road games, but they should.
I think you should be,
especially
in
wins.
I think when you get a road win, you should come home and everyone on the team should have to go straight to the stadium from the airport before they go to their homes. And we should watch someone go up on the throne and cheer them. Okay, now you guys can go home.
The five wins on the bounce, do you know what that is?
It's got to be the first time it's ever happened in club history.
It's not. It's a club record.
Yeah.
Five.
I don't even have to look it up to know that.
Yeah.
Because I've never felt the way I'm feeling
just
right now.
I just wanted to make you think that it happened before, but it hasn't. It's history. Tonight, five straight wins for Charlotte FC. It's CLTFC right now is on fire in MLS. They've got five straight wins. Who knows what the ceiling is for this club at this moment?
I guarantee you that Dean Smith is not talking about five straight wins. He's talking about six straight unbeaten. I guarantee you Dean is like, he's shoehorning that draw in on the front end every time, and he's talking about six unbeaten. I guarantee you. I just know him too well.
Juarez, like, what is Juarez?
It's a city across the border from El Paso, Texas. I've spent some time there, yeah.
Well, that club came into the fortress and absolutely crushed Charlotte FC in League's Cup. And the essentially ended the league's cup campaign.
Right.
The club crashes out
right.
from another cup competition, bounces back, wins the final game against Monterey.
Dead rubber, but yeah, it's nice to get a win, but it was a dead rubber.
But maybe that decision from Dean to start some
that.
Of his guys,
right.
be prepared for tonight, it ultimately worked, but just need to be clear about something before we move on, is that the red card, as you said, changed the match. And while this is a good win, I think that instead of putting it in like the great performance, deserved 3 points, this team can go accomplish anything. I jokingly said a few minutes ago, I was like, the sky's the limit for this club right now. Like, realistically though, a result like this is something that this club has earned.
Right.
From being on the other side of results like this
right.
for the entire season.
I mean,
so
I couldn't put it better myself.
It's 3 points deserved
right.
in that regard.
It's not a fluke, but it doesn't mean that we're great, but it's deserved and it's well-earned and everything
yeah,
happened.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
yeah, for sure. But it was against 10 men. But Cincinnati's a Supporters Shield contending team, and we're on the road, and we don't get road wins at Charlotte FC. So, like, all told, you mix everything together, and it's like definitely something that a Charlotte FC fan should feel great about. This is building momentum ahead of the first ever short week. We got a short week, first ever match against Real Salt Lake in club history, if I'm not mistaken. It's at home at the Fortress on Saturday. One less day of prep. Hopefully, the lads will get some rest tomorrow after flying home from Cincy. I'm sure they're all feeling really good about their performance, and there was a lot of great performances, John. Deani was probably man of the first half. Deani was out there. Evander was so dangerous.
Two very different games that those
so
two
dangerous.
Played.
Yeah, and Deani was shutting it down at every turn.
It's like two dance partners
right.
on a Sunday night in
right.
Cincinnati.
Exactly. It's like you move here, I move there. You know, it's like they're following each other's moves. And
yes.
then you got Bronico filling in for Westwood, sort of at that six box-to-box role going absolutely nuts, running all over the pitch. I'm sure if you call up his heat map, it's like just a spots of red and orange all over the place, because he was fantastic. Zaha scored the goal, and Zaha was great all night. Kerwin Vargas putting in a workmanlike shift. We were watching, John, in the stoppage time, in like the 92nd minute. I think there was 9 minutes of stoppage time because of drinks break and the goal and the red card. So in the stoppage time, Kerwin Vargas was just kind of walking around during a dead ball, and it was just like staying on his left sleeve, stain on his right sleeve, stain on his ass cheek. Like, he had, like, his uniform was just covered in grass stains because he was putting in a hell of a shift, and he was getting his ass beat up. At one point, he seemed like he pulled a gluteus, like, in the first half, but he got up and soldiered on. He had the cross in that led to the goal. Kerwin had a beautiful cross right to the spot.
And a very nice touch by Toklamati then to move it on.
Yeah.
Further across the pitch to Wilfried Zaha, the
so
one touch.
So many great
the full volley. The full volley goal,
right.
I think, is the highlight of the evening.
Byrne went 87 minutes after going 60 minutes 3 days ago. He's just back from a surgery. I mean, guys were putting in shifts tonight.
For what it's worth, our friends at SofaScore agree with you. Christian Kalina, an 8.8 performance in the net. It's a clean sheet, and
I mean,
he is the man of the match. The other highest rated Charlotte FC player, believe it or not, it's a tie between Wilfried Zaha and
I'm gonna say Malanda.
Tim Ream.
Oh, the captain.
The captain
wearing the armband in place of Westwood. That doesn't surprise me because Ream played great, and I'm not someone who gives Ream, has always. You could even say I've unfairly chastised Ream in the past, but he was great tonight. I certainly give him his flowers. He was awesome.
So SofaScore, you know, has the ratings available. Go check out the ratings, the heat maps. Deani was certainly all over the pitch. Brant Bronico highly rated as well, as he was all over the pitch tonight. The 4-4-2, and we won't get into too in-depth of a tactical discussion, but the 4-4-2 was clearly a nice win for Charlotte tonight.
And that it was weird because, like, when Charlotte posted the lineup, they posted it as a 4-2-3-1 on the team graphic. And
Those graphics never mean anything.
They're never. I know, but and
you'd
Zaha,
like to think that it means something.
Like Zaha in the 10.
They've got the Orlando Miami matchup here at the
All right,
moment.
Let's go. So. Let's go. 1-1, 25th minute. I mean, for some real time tracking there, but they posted it with Zaha in the 10. But Dean had said in the press conference yesterday, Dean said, "I'll probably play a 4-4-2." So I think we were all expecting the 4-4-2. We saw it. It was Zaha and Toklamati up top. It was. So I know we don't have to. I mean, we can dive into the tactics, John, because it was because they won, you could almost call it a tactical masterclass from Dean. Like, at first I wasn't willing to give that adjective, but or that status, I guess, is really more of a noun than an adjective, but it became a tactical masterclass in the end because they won. But like, he was pulling the strings, he was moving chess pieces all over the board. He had Byrne playing at left wing back when Byrne is normally on the right side, Tuuloma playing on the right. He started the game with Vargas on the left, I believe, and Abada on the right, and Wilf and Toklamadi up top with Brandt and Diani as sort of like the two midfielders in the center of the pitch. But then Tuuloma gets hurt, and so he subs in Jaquil Marshall-Ruddy for Tuuloma, and Marshall-Ruddy comes in, but then later Scardina came in for Byrne, and Ruddy goes from the right side over to the left. At one point, at halftime, he made the switch, because it was actually Vargas and Toklamadi up top of the 4-4-2 to start, and Wilf was really playing, like, kind of, excuse me, to start the second half. It was he switched Vargas to the top and put Wilf back out on the left wing. So, and then at one point he moved, when Abada subbed off and Williamson came on, he moved Vargas from the right to the left. It was like, Dean was moving guys all over the pitch. It was a beautiful thing to see, and just absolutely blown away by how effective it was. And again, that I mean, we're not here to, you know, talk about the team looking great without the captain on the pitch, but Bronico and Diani held their own.
They certainly did, and when you look at the heat maps, you can just tell how much of the field these two absolutely covered. Wilfried Zaha, most of his work strictly down the left, despite the graphics saying that, oh, he's going to play in the middle. He didn't play in the middle.
On that second half, he really went left, and he stayed out there and made shit happen.
He didn't play in the middle.
Yeah.
Toklamadi and Westwood actually taking up a lot of the same positions in this match.
Yeah, Toklo was all over the pitch, though. Look at that. I mean, he was getting – he's like – he's got orange-yellow spots, like, all across the front.
Yes. Very, very good. Very good play. And then Liel Abada coming down that left-hand side, and Nathan Byrne as well, which is something else I really wanted to touch on in this match, is the connection between Nathan Byrne at left back and Wilfried Zaha at left wing. I think what you're talking about is total ownership of that left side of the pitch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you talked about Dean making a decision to put Nathan on the left-hand side, which, by the way, there's a new signing in who's going to want to play that position.
We got Toffs, yeah, exactly.
Another Brit?
Harry Toffolo, let's go, yeah.
Maybe him and Zaha can link up and kind of have that same connection that Zaha and Nathan Byrne do, because there's a professional partnership happening down the left. Mm-hmm. Liel Abada's got to try to find a way to fit in.
Right.
Although Dean's switched him left to right all night, clearly.
Yeah, he did. He played – Abada and Vargas both kind of – occupied both wings at different times, and especially after Abada subbed off, Kerwin stayed right. But the funny part was that, like, Wilf and Byrne, during, like, the drinks breaks and things like that, you could see them kind of jawing at each other, but it wasn't, like, animosity. It was like professional, just, like, telling each other what was happening out there and, like, communicating, you know, constructive criticism, but shouting. I don't even know if it was criticism. It was just, like, just two pros talking to each other. And I hope that Harry Toffolo can capture some of that, too, and then let Byrne go back to his natural right side. But like, you couldn't have had Tuuloma playing behind Wilf. You need Byrne on that overlap, and Byrne was living in the attacking zone. Tuuloma played well before he got hurt. He wasn't bad, but it just, like, he's not the guy you want, you know, making overlapping runs behind Wilf Zaha on the wing, or Liel Abada.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. We're here at Dom's Dive Bar.
Dive in, baby.
We are in Lower South End. It's really nice to be here this evening, and, you know, one thing that we're doing on the show is we're drinking Guinness.
It's a lovely day for a Guinness.
It certainly is, and we're here tonight just to discuss the win and just enjoy it. Matt Miazga, bit of a shithouser on the pitch this evening. It was fun to see that, for sure. It was also really, really interesting to see how, after the match, Christian Fuchs, an arm around Christian Kolina's shoulder.
Yeah.
Those two guys remaining from
22ers.
From the original roster build,
we call them 22ers, yeah.
Along with Brant Bronico as well.
Yeah, Bronico started the first ever match against DC. Don't forget it.
those two really, Danny, are the OGs.
Yeah.
Bronico and Kalina at this point.
Left, yeah.
And to see Bronico and Kalina go out there and put on a really, really good performances, both of them. Brant Bronico continues to be a diamond in the rough. And that part, I think what makes Bronico so special is that he can partner with any other midfielder because he's like, okay, you're going to play there and I'll play here. And he just knows how to eat the space.
Yeah.
He's a space eater. He's like a hungry hippo. You know, remember the game Hungry Hippo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a space. Exactly. When Bronico and Diani play together, in that middle area, they're both like hungry hippos.
Yeah.
It's like,
give me that ball. Give me that ball back. Yeah, I need it. Yeah.
And that's how the 4-4-2 really works well.
Yeah.
And their partnership is
There was
is
one
good.
Spot in the second half. I think it was after the red card, but before the goal, where Bronico like got the ball in sort of transition and went forward with it and like passed it off to someone. I think Abada, and then like the attack fizzled out and didn't work. So then, like, 2 minutes later, the similar thing happened where Bronico, like, got a steal in transition. And he's like, fuck it. I'm shooting this one. And he shot it from, like, 30 yards out.
Rip.
And it was, like, on target. It was great.
It was
you know?
A great
yeah.
hit. Yes.
It was a really nice hit.
Zaha had another hit as well. I thought Charlotte FC, I thought that the Crown's expected goals was a little harsh. At a little under 0.6. It was, like, 0.59.
Okay.
I thought that was harsh, considering... Yeah. Some of the attempts that I saw on goal, I think like closer to 7-5 probably would have been where I landed at. But hey, I don't have the servers and the data backing up my takes here.
Just, you don't have the protractor and the compass. Yeah,
just my neurons firing.
Yeah.
At this point, they're telling me that those chances were like real. That the keeper, who you had a good story about, Cincinnati's keeper.
Celentano, yeah.
He did a nice job on those shots by Bronico and Zaha before the eventual goal.
Yeah, but if I remember right, Celentano, isn't he the guy that, like, Miguel Angel Ramirez, like, went over and hugged when, like, it was, like, Charlotte FC beat Cincy, like, in 2022. MAR didn't coach many games, so it was early in his tenure. It was both early and late in his tenure, I think.
He had a big hug.
We won, but he was like, the Cincy keeper was amazing, you know, some bullshit, yeah.
I just wanted, whether that's true or false, I just wanted an MAR reference
on
tonight's
show. Yeah,
we
gotta get that in,
Because if there was one other manager that I would have thought could have won five in a row, it would have been Miguel Angel Ramirez.
I think if he'd coached for 100 years, he might have won five in a row at some point in there.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes, Danny Brams. Follow us on YouTube. Make sure that you consume our content on YouTube. We've got some really good content there, Decoding the Presser. Danny's hosting there. Some episodes as well with Apple MLS Season Pass.
Yeah, we've had a few weeks off because during League's Cup, but we'll get back. We'll get some.
But it's still nice you can go back into the archive and see the faces that you see on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. You'll see on this show talking to Danny Brams this season. So
when you're like, why is Ross Smith hating on our team? You know, why is Tony Husband, loving Nashville more than anyone else? You know, well, you can go back and listen to him on the show. I'm messing with Tony and Ross. I'm kidding.
Good guys. We appreciate their contributions.
I shout them out
because
they're two of my favorites. That's all.
We're coming back after this. We're going to get one more Guinness.
You need another beer.
And we're going to discuss the transfer window. Coming up next, we're going to discuss the transfer window. An Australian, a young Australian.
Dino lied to me, John. He looked me in the eye and lied to me.
We're going to talk about that next here from Dom's Dive Bar. It's Charlotte Soccer Show. Back on the show, it is Charlotte Soccer Show. Cheers to you, Danny. After the win this evening, I think it's fun to talk about the transfer window, and conveniently, right behind your right shoulder here at Dom's Dive Bar, there's a Jamie Tartt kit here. And when you think about the transfer window, you think about moves that can happen. You can think about a Richmond to Man City. You could think about a Charlotte FC to Derby County. You could think about, potentially a Nottingham Forest to Charlotte FC. There's a new signing here. It's Harry Toffolo.
Premier League pedigree.
Who is this guy, Danny?
He's a left back for Nottingham Forest, but much beloved fan favorite of Nottingham Forest. You know, I think he was kind of one of those locked in, like almost every game starters for them in their promotion campaign when they were trying to get to the Premier League. And then
right.
he started, he played 24, 25 games, I think, for them in the Premier League in 2023-24 season. But then last year in 24-25, when they were having a great campaign, he just didn't feature that much. I mean, he lost his place in the side. And even though fans love him, they got songs about him, he just was looking for a fresh start somewhere he could get on the pitch. And, you know, Charlotte FC had the need. We've had a lot of injuries on the back line. Dean has those connections to the Premier League. Zoran can use Dean's connections to the Premier League to, you know, make things happen. And it is what it is. It's not the signing that we're all waiting for. I think everyone's been waiting for a striker. Everyone's been waiting for a third, you know.
More on that to come.
A third DP, you know, would be nice if we're, you know, we're going to use it. But a left back is a signing that we need, especially because Bill Tuoloma went down tonight with injury. You know, Bill Tuoloma was in there as like sort of fill-in duty, and he's hurt now. So it's like just in time, just as soon as we get one, we lose one. But I think Toffolo is a guy who he's going to be officially introduced by the club on Monday, so there'll be content on that. The club's been putting major content out about him. The club did like 7 posts about Harry Toffolo when he was first signed, you know, which I think is cool. Like,
he's an incoming.
Yeah, he's an incoming player. You got to make a big deal of it because you want him
especially
to feel welcome.
Because he's going to be in the starting 11.
Right. That tells you he's going to start.
To me, it does.
Yeah.
Especially after watching Nathan Byrne play at left back, and we've had that conversation already on tonight's show.
Right.
But, like, it's clearly
the connection.
In my mind, it's clearly a Toffolo left back situation, Nate Byrne right back situation. That's what Dean Smith wants.
And then probably, it's probably Ream and Milanda. You know, I mean, the
correct.
Center back pairing had a clean sheet tonight against one of the best teams in the league, against one of the most dangerous attackers in the league, MVP.
I think that
favorite, Evander.
That's Dean Smith's preferred back four, for sure.
And I've said many times on this show, like, Privet Milanda was working. It's been a bad year for Andrew Privet. He started the year okay, but he's become a little bit mistake prone. And he is young. The good news for Andrew Privet is he's young, he's talented, he has plenty of time to play his way through a run of bad form and get better and get back to like the performances we know. But right now, it's got to be Ream Milanda, I think. And top
of yes, him. Yes, and Nathan Byrne.
Yeah.
Nathan Byrne, who featured tonight against Cincinnati and played really well. So, again, that's to me, it's the preferred back four, and that's a really good thing to have at this point in the year.
Remember what it was like when Dumbia came in?
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, wow, a left back who has a little class on the ball, a left back who can bring it forward and play 1-2s and move up the, like, we were all, if Dumbia hadn't gotten hurt, we probably don't go sign Harry Toffolo because Dumbia would be doing good things on left side, but he did get hurt. Go get someone else who has that, like, that level of skill at the fullback position is really nice, and especially something that Dean Smith, a Premier League pedigreed manager, can make use of.
Exciting times, and you know, I know there's a connection between the United Kingdom and, of course,
right.
Australia,
former penal colony, you know, part of the Commonwealth.
A long history there, a new history between Dean Smith and Archie Goodwin, the Australian young striker. It's not official. It's not official. It's not official.
No, are we allowed to talk about players on other clubs, John? I don't know. I need to check that because...
You were at the press conference.
Yeah.
You talked to Dean Smith. Tell me how it all went down.
So, listen, I love Dean. I like to think that Dean at least tolerates me. You know, I have this joke, like Dean Smith is my boyfriend or whatever, you know, and we're having some communication issues recently because he, right before the weekly presser, sort of the pre-Cincinnati presser, most of the questions were all about the press conference, but he himself brought up, you know, still looking for competition for Edon, so I thought it was fair game to point out that hours before the press conference had started, Tom Bogert tweeted out that Charlotte was nearing finalization with a young, you know, striker from Australia, Archie Goodwin. Now, this follows Carol Walton, who had tweeted the night before. She confirmed it.
During the match.
During the match, during the Monterey match. The initial report came from like A-League official, like some Australian League like official news source.
Which is...
It felt pretty good. So you got the domestic...
Pretty credible.
You got the domestic in Australia site. You got Carol, the best local reporter. You got Tom, the best national MLS scoop guy.
Things are adding up.
It's like, how could... This is probably happening, barring a Calvin Stengs medical situation, right? So nobody at the press conference asked Dean about this guy, Archie Goodwin. And Dean's been talking for weeks and weeks about bringing in competition for Iran. So I said, hey, I'm going to, you know, I guess I have to do this. Full disclosure, I was riding my bike on the Greenway, trying to work on my fitness a little bit, get some pedaling in.
Great,
and I was just listening into the presser. Yeah. I wasn't even planning to speak up.
Because you wanted to be up to date on the latest news. Because you were doing an appearance on a Cincinnati podcast.
Cincy Soccer Talk, yeah.
So you just wanted
you
to be up to date with the latest that Dean Smith had to say. But so you had to...
I had to pull off to the side of the Greenway. And like my Zoom app, I had to like sweatily like try to get, you know, there's sweat on my screen. I was dying, but you know, it was a hot day. But and I was like, I'm breathing heavy, and I'm like, Dean, what about Archie Goodwin? You know, the sources are saying, I know you're not going to confirm the deal, but is this a player that you've scouted? You know, do you know anything about Archie Goodwin if he's the guy? And he looked, you know, he looked at the Zoom camera and kind of gave this little like sly grin. And he was like, I don't talk about players that are on other clubs. And I was like, fair enough, you know. I mean, I get. And he's like, nice try, Dan. You know, it's like rubbing it in my face. And it's like, but then I didn't have this comeback ready. You know how like George Costanza, he's like, he wishes he had the comeback at the right time. I thought of this like moments later when it was too late. I was like, well, what the hell? This guy talks about Jack Grealish and how he's like begging Jack Grealish to come over all the time. Why? I should have come back with him right in that moment. I should have been like, well, you're happy to talk about Jack, you know? Like, why won't you talk about Archie?
But, do you think he would have said, well, it's because the Jack Grealish thing is not real?
I think if I had the wherewithal to come up with that comeback, I think I would have blown his mind so hard that he would have just got up and walked away from the microphone.
He might have been pissed.
He might have got pissed
and said, like, next question.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was the last question of the press conference. But here's the deal. He's also... So when Doumbia was signed, the second Suleiman Doumbia reference of the segment, when Doumbia was signed, the day that he was signed, it was announced in the afternoon, there was also a Dean presser. So Dean came into that presser and someone's like, how you doing, Dean? And he goes, I'm feeling a bit standard today.
It was like a music reference.
Well, no,
right?
It was a club reference. He goes, I'm feeling a little bit standard today. ... Liège, which is standard Liège, which is the club in Belgium that they signed Doumbia from. So it's like, in this press conference, he walked in, he was singing an Oasis song. He was singing All Around the World. He was like, all around the world, you gotta spread the world. I'm like, all around the world, the other side of the world, Australia? Like, he's dropping the breadcrumbs. He's always like, there's always something in his mind, you know, that he's like a thought he's holding in his mind when he walks in these pressers, and he kind of gives us these little clues. I'm just telling you. All signs point to Archie Goodwin being here within the next week or so. That's
okay.
All I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. You've answered the question that I was most interested in, which is, who is this backup striker? We don't expect him to be a designated player.
No, big money, $2 million reported by the Australian source, but not a DP contract on salary when he gets here. So just a kind of an expensive transfer, but that's what strikers cost these days.
American adventure for the young Australian striker. That sounds kind of fun.
Right, and I think he's like 20 years old. I think he's the same, or maybe 21, same age as Toe Clamati. Leading scorer in the A-League, they call it the Men's A-League over there. Leading scorer in the Men's A-League for Adelaide United. Send him over, you know. It's all about. I'm happy with Toe Clamati as the starter, but he needs some competition.
I think my last. Maybe you have another transfer update that I don't know about. Last player I want to talk about this evening is Patrick Ajimong, who we learned a few things that we've never discussed on the show. I don't think. And if we have, I apologize. The hernia surgery. I did not realize that happened for Patrick. Yeah. He's going to miss the start of the season.
Right.
Derby County, they played this weekend. They lost.
Yeah.
They lost on the road at Stoke. Can Derby do it on a cold night in Stoke? Or a summer afternoon in August?
The
answer is no.
Right, not yet.
Yeah. Derby County couldn't get it done. Patrick Ajimong not featured. He's recovering from surgery. Expected to miss probably the first month of the season.
When the calendar
turns September, I'm definitely going to look to see
what
happens there. But I think it's
he's been posting. He went on a little tour of London. I saw pictures of Big Ben on Pat's Insta stories recently. So yeah, he's living up there. He did an interview for the BBC, and he did like a 25 minute interview on Derby BBC.UK.com or whatever. And he said he's going there to be a star is what he told the English, and they talked about U.S. men's national aspirations and things like that. I think we're just all dying to see Patrick get started over there. It sucks that he had the hernia surgery. It's good that it didn't throw off the transfer. Thank goodness we got that 8 million. Still getting 8 million.
It sounds like to me that they found that in the medical, or he was honest about it in the medical and was
It wasn't a surprise. Right. Like, it didn't throw off the deal. Everyone knew. Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, what it revealed is that he was playing for Charlotte. He must have had this while he was playing for Charlotte FC this year.
That's right.
He was playing the first half of this season with a hernia and scoring goals.
Yeah.
And shrugging off defenders like nothing.
So Patrick Aujamon, he's eventually going to feature. You can watch the championship, by the way, on Paramount Plus. I watched a little bit of Norwich and Millwall.
On
Saturday, I enjoyed it. 2-1 loss for the Canaries, unfortunately, at home. First time that the Canaries lost to Millwall at home in like 50 plus years.
Wow.
But it happened this past weekend in the championship's opening weekend. We saw the Community Shield between Liverpool and Crystal Palace.
Wilf Zaha's former club.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got the Super Cup coming up on Wednesday. The
Thomas
Europa
Franks.
League champions Tottenham Hotspur versus the Champions League trophy winners.
I think Thomas
Paris
Frank
Saint-Germain.
Thomas Frank might have something for PSG.
Will it be a test? Will it be a tactical masterclass like Dean Smith executed against Cincinnati? I don't know. It's a high bar.
I'm not saying it was a masterclass. I did say use that term, but I think it was an active night. He was moving pieces all night. That's
he was managing. He was doing his job.
He was doing his job. I do have one more transfer that I do want to bring up. Since you went there, it reminded me. How did it feel, or how does it feel to you as a huge Spurs fan to see Heung-min Son come and play in MLS? Got 30-minute cameo, drew a penalty that ended up as the equalizer, made an impact. Sonny in MLS, absolutely beautiful to see.
Remarkable debut. The visa process is quick. LAFC, we'll talk about that on another episode.
He couldn't
episode.
Have picked up an extra visa for Toffolo,
It was exactly the debut that you'd expect. The pace was there. The goal-making ability was there.
Right.
It was, you know what reminded me a lot of? His skill set at MLS is not too dissimilar from Patrick Aujamon's skill set at MLS, which is just running behind.
Yeah,
he is so fast; his pace is unbelievable.
Yep.
When you go watch it, Heung-min Son,
they had to drag him down from behind. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Like, and how many times have we seen that with Pat? And how many times did it not get called?
Right.
It was like such a clear penalty on Son.
Yeah.
That they had to go to VAR.
Right.
They had to look at it for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because the referee was 50 yards behind.
Yeah, because Son was so far out ahead. Yeah, it's true. Very, very good point. Yeah, it's funny.
And we've seen that before with Patrick Aujamon.
Yeah.
And there's a certain skill set in this league. And Sonny has the ability. I'm curious to see whether he can bag some goals. Because his goal-scoring form has been off.
Yeah.
And it's been off for a while. I'm curious to see.
Well, there's a reason he left Tottenham. But,
yes.
He still is a talented enough player that he should thrive, I feel like, in MLS, depending, but yeah.
For what it's worth, Dedis Bouyanga took the PK and scored it.
Right.
Sonny did not.
I know.
And LAFC did not win. It was a 2-2 draw at Chicago.
Right,
exactly. So while it was a nice debut, it was still like not a winning debut.
It's funny because one of the LAFC guys was like trying to get Son to take it. I think Tillman was like trying to like get the ball to Son, and Bouyanga was like, no, I'm taking this. Sorry, yeah. I'm scoring as many freaking. He had the Karol Swiderski, like, I will get as many goals on my ledger as I possibly can. It doesn't matter if Sonny like earned this and it's his debut. Who cares?
It's
great to see, and like, It made me think, at first, I just gotta say, at first I was like, well, man, I wish Charlotte FC had ambition enough to go get someone like Son. And the fact of the matter, then I thought about it more, and I was like, Zaha's not a legend like Heung-min Son, But Zaha is a Premier League pedigree player who is at a similar point in his career. Like, Charlotte, it made me just appreciate the fact that we have Will Zaha. Seeing Son made me appreciate Zaha. That's all I have to say.
The skill set is different. The finishing ability may be similar. Right now, Sonny's strength is pace. Right now, Zaha's strength is class.
Right. The full volley finish, yeah.
I think if you combine the two players, it's still the Premier League player. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of months and the next couple of years with both these players in MLS. But it's another example of how Son moves the needle, Wilfried Zaha does not.
Right.
And you know why? Because Wilfried Zaha is a player that was with Crystal Palace.
Right.
Was a player that was with Galatasaray.
Right.
Was a player that never was, frankly, on a big club.
Right, he was on Lyon and barely didn't even play as a loanee. Yeah, and he was great.
Even though the Crystal Palace is FA Cup winners, champions now.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and I'm not trying to talk shit about Crystal Palace.
No.
Spurs is a big club.
Right. I mean, that's
Bayern Munich. Thomas Mueller coming into the league for Vancouver.
Right.
Big club.
Yeah.
Barcelona. And to Miami, that's a big club.
Right.
Those are the
DePaul coming from Atletico Madrid too. Yeah,
big club. Very big club.
Yeah.
Can Charlotte FC make a big club signing? That's the question.
Right.
They've yet to do it.
Can we get someone from a big club? All due respect to Adelaide United in the men's A League in Australia. But
no, all due respect to Leicester City to start. Okay, because we do have a signing from Leicester City,
Boopsie.
Premier League champions.
Yeah.
We do have a signing from Leicester City. We have a signing now from Nottingham Forest.
Right.
Small club.
From Burnley.
From Burnley as well, Ashley Westwood there. Yet to have a signing come in. You got Derby County as well. Derby County for both guys, Camille Usviak.
Right.
And Nathan Byrne.
And sent one back. And sent one back. By the way, Karol Swiderski started for Panathinaikos in their Europa League qualifier against Shakhtar Donetsk. 85 minutes, ineffective, 0-0 draw. Yeah. They're facing elimination on the road. Next match. We'll see.
So,
love you, Carol.
But yet to see a signing from a big club.
Olympiacos. We got Pep from Olympiacos.
I am well documented on the show being like, that's a Champions League club.
Yeah, yeah.
It is.
Exactly.
But it's, is it a big club?
Right.
Is it a needle? Does it move the needle?
How much?
I don't think so.
What if David Tepper just came out and dropped $50 million on Martin Odegaard to come to Charlotte? You know? Let's fucking go.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Pay him like the Saudi League pays him. Just throw all your money.
Big signing from a big club. Just spend all the cash and say, hey, you can come to America.
Yeah.
We're going to take care of your family. And you're going to be who we build around for the next 7 years at Charlotte FC.
Right. It probably would take more than 50, to be honest, now that I think about it. But yeah.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams. We're excited to be back with you soon here on the show. What is the upcoming schedule? Let's finish off with the upcoming schedule.
We got Real at home.
Yep.
We got Red Bulls at home.
That's correct.
We got New England on the road. We got New York City at home.
You've skipped into Miami.
I skipped Miami. Oh, Miami home before New England on the road?
No, after New England.
Okay, New England, then Miami. Hopefully Messi's healthy for Tepper's bottom line.
New York City.
I think beers will be raised to $30 for a 24-ounce beer on September 13th against Inter Miami. Then New York City on the road on a game that was flexed from Sunday to Saturday. I don't know exactly why.
Charlotte, we're hosting Montreal.
Yeah.
And then Charlotte on the road at D.C., then Charlotte hosting Philadelphia to finish on decision day.
Which I really wanted to go to that DC game, but I'm going to a music festival in Memphis that weekend. But I hope that a lot of people go travel to the DC because we love a DC away day for sure.
Oh, it's a shame to miss
it. Right there on the river. Right,
a shame to miss it.
But then at home against Philadelphia, a team that Charlotte does a good job of playing up to competition. They have a really good record. They destroyed San Diego in Charlotte, who is like the best team in the West. They have 2-0 against Cincinnati. They beat Columbus. We should have had a draw on the road again in Philly if it wasn't for just nonsense and stoppage time. Like, Charlotte has an ability to play up to better competition that is impressive and could bode well for playoffs.
The only team in MLS to win its last five matches, it's Charlotte FC.
Five on the bounce.
Cheers to that. Cheers to you, Danny. It's another episode of Charlotte Soccer Show. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Make sure you share the podcast with a friend who who love Charlotte FC as much as we do. Make sure you rate the show, review the show, tell us what you love about it. These are our audio-only episodes. You can get more of our content on YouTube as well. Until next time.
For the crown, baby.